Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And oh my goodness, we are down to just a few more weeks of having Bruce as our senior pastor here at Christ Fellowship, which unfortunately means we are down to just a few more episodes with him on this podcast, at least for now. You know, Bruce chose Philippians for his final sermon series because it is a book near and dear to his heart, because it really emphasizes the importance of centering our lives around Jesus. We are in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to talk about Paul's strong conviction that whatever gains he had, he considered loss for the sake of Christ. Bruce is going to teach us how we can do the same next. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am back with Bruce.
Delighted to be back again.
It was such a fun episode with you and Jeff.
I loved it. It was really fun.
It was really fun. And hearing some of the stories, now I have, you know, even more stories about you. More material.
Oh, Lord.
No, to see you guys together and the camaraderie you have and just... I don't know. It was just kind of a little different side of you, Bruce.
you seem so
comfortable and fun, and it was great. So I'm glad that Jeff was able to come and preach.
Me too.
But we're back.
We're back, and this Sunday is super exciting. I love our bilingual services.
Yes.
I know not everybody does, because for some people, it's hard to hear in both languages. So for if you know both, you hear it twice.
Right.
If you don't know it, you're kind of like waiting to hear it for the other one to be over.
Yeah.
But there is something beautiful about laying down our rights, laying down our preferences to unite together across our differences, even if it might be awkward for somebody or difficult for you. I want to encourage you to embrace it.
Yes.
And hear the beauty of worship in two different languages, two different ethnicities, and multiple cultures, frankly, multiple Hispanic
cultures.
Yeah,
we have, yes. And I think it's amazing. First of all, that we have this kind of church,
yeah,
that we are really one church, two languages. And we really do try to think of ourselves that way. We plan that way in
staff meetings.
It's a really a high value here at Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, I mean, I preach the same sermon. We're both preaching Philippians.
We're both
in Philippians 3 this week. And of course, together. But it is such a unique dimension of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah.
And the elders were talking about the whole place we're in of transition and a new senior pastor. And all the way through the search saying, one thing we're committed to, and we're committed to Jesus in the scripture, but
yeah, obviously
we are committed to one church, two languages.
Yeah.
And anybody we bring, that is a core part of our DNA now.
It is.
That we want to see continue. And frankly, we don't talk about this a lot, but a number of other churches have approached me and Jaime over the years saying, tell us what you've done. And even a number of large churches in the DFW area have had a harder time really making this happen because, frankly, humans don't get along so well. And we tend to flock with those that are like us. And so to really unify like the scripture calls us to is challenging. And somehow by the Spirit of God, it's happened here better than in most places.
Yeah. And it'll be wonderful to all be in the room together.
Yes.
We cross paths sometimes in the lobby, but we don't always get to be and to worship together and to sing in two languages. I get to practice my Spanish,
which is
abysmal. But on the screen,
well,
I can kind of sing.
I can see Jesus and I know that. And the joy of it. I personally love the bilingual services.
Yeah.
And we've done that at our last two anniversaries.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, before I make this shift from senior pastor to founding pastor, I'd love to do another bilingual service.
I'm so glad we're doing it.
And I said, I also want a chance to speak directly to our Spanish congregation. And this is a beautiful way to do it and express our unity and symbolize and re-entrench. Yes, we're one church, two languages, unified together for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Well, and you know what is a huge theme in Philippians?
Unity.
And
he opens chapter 3 with the word that's so commonly used, rejoice.
Philippians 3, 1 through 14. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And I love that call throughout the book.
Yes.
As we've said already, he's in prison. He's in difficult circumstances. Remarkable. There's conflict. And he's saying rejoice. And I think that that's also my call to us as Christ Fellowship, is whatever you go through, whatever our church goes through in these years to come, rejoice.
Yes.
That there is joy independent of circumstances or even in hard circumstances when you're focused on the Lord.
Yes, because he's always with you.
Yeah.
And so that by itself is a reason to rejoice. And then not to mention the future he has planned for us.
And it's kind of crazy how the evident huge fact that he's saying rejoice while he's in prison.
Right.
But right in this context, he says rejoice. And then he says it's no trouble to write the same things in a safeguard view. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. So he's rejoicing, but he's acknowledging, hey, there's some conflict going on.
Yes.
There's some folks that are
causing trouble. Yeah. Dangers ahead, potentially.
And we don't know quite who all these people were, but there was tension. There was some conflict.
Yeah. And I think probably what's going on here is similar to what he talks about in Galatians mm-hmm. and other places, where you had a strong contingent of Jewish believers or just Jewish people who looked at the Gentiles who were coming into the faith and said, wait a minute, they need to be circumcised.
Right.
Because it was an identity marker for the Jewish people, that circumcision. It was a sign of the covenant. And honestly, it was something that they were using to sort of elevate themselves and make themselves, because they really took such pride in their ethnic heritage.
And I'd say also in their religion.
Yes.
But using the word religion in the sense of religiosity.
Yes.
The rituals and rules and traditions. And so you're right in verse 3, he says, it's we who are the circumcision. And he's meaning now the true circumcision, like of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And who serve Christ. Then in verse 5, he comes back. If anyone thinks they have confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised the eighth day. And he goes through this list somewhat sarcastically.
Yeah.
Of saying, what was happening is there was pride and arrogance, and
yes.
the whole book is calling us to humility too.
Right.
Humility is the key to unity. And so they were proud of their religiosity, their heritage, their ethnicity. And he's flipping it around and say, if you think you have confidence in those things,
dude,
listen to this.
Yeah.
Circumcised the eighth day, people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews,
I make the analogy in the study guide. I'm like, it's like a bunch of 10th grade boys are standing on a basketball court talking smack to one another and like, look what I can do. And then LeBron James walks yeah. up and he's like, you know, I am like, Paul is the LeBron James of yeah. Judaism.
If you want to pull out your resume, I'll pull mine out right? and I kind of trump you.
Yes.
But I love the turn in verse 7.
Yes.
It's just so striking to me. And he uses sort of language of the business world of gain and loss.
Yes.
Profit and loss. But he plays on it and he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I mean, he's flipping the whole script.
Yeah. And he's like, and so how much more so should all these other people yeah. who are encouraging this? Because really they were excluding the Gentiles from fellowship. In a lot of these
They're
churches,
looking down on them.
They were looking down on them, and he's like, "Look, nothing matters in light of what who Christ is and what He's done for us. Like, wipe away all the other things that you think you should take pride in, or that you're so arrogant about, and none of that matters."
That's right.
And wow, that is such a word for us.
It is,
because in our day and age, it seems like there's such a priority on status and success, and so, and it's in all different areas, right? Like
right.
if you have a kid, you want your kid to be first chair in the
That's
orchestra.
Right.
You know, if you you want your kid to go to the Ivy League school, or at least a really, really good school.
We're in select sports.
Yes, yeah, select sports. And then for your own self, like, no, I want to be at this company and in this position.
That's right.
Or, you know, even in the world of social media, like, I want to have 100,000 followers and I want all these likes and retweets. And
yeah, social media has made it all the worse that we measure our worth based on followers and likes and thumbs and it's like hearts and
yes.
Wow. And it's so easy to get really wrapped around that.
It
and
is.
I've talked to someone who was discouraged because they had counted the numbers of likes and hearts and all. And it was less than another person in their sphere. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Boy, it's easy to get caught up in that.
But it's easy. It really is easy to do because, you know, I think we all have a little insecurity. Like,
oh,
am
sure.
I worthy? Am I worth it? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And then we try to measure ourselves based on what other people are doing. And that may not be what God has called you to.
No. And Paul says, let me tell you what's really worth it. Let
yeah.
me tell you the real prize.
Yes.
He says, what's more, I consider everything a loss. Because of, or I'd say in view of, or compared to, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things.
Yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah, he said, I consider him garbage.
Yeah.
That's kind of a strong word in Greek. It's like nasty garbage.
It is. It's like a, it's almost like a cuss word, right?
It is. It is. Like filth from animals.
Like
and,
it's not a word you would say in polite company.
Right. That I may gain Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... All those other stuff, religiosity and financial rewards and likes on social media and being in select sports and having the senior vice president title or whatever. It's like, no, it's Christ.
Yeah.
It's Christ.
Well, and the thing is, when you recognize that, that's what gives you the ability to then not worry so much about the other stuff.
That's
so
right.
you can still participate in your job and do a good work and be excellent at everything you do and
that's
pursue
right.
things in an, you know, in a way that honors God, but at the same time you're like, okay, so I didn't get, you know, that many likes, or I'm not making as much money as this other guy. That's okay, because I have Christ. So it just makes everything more even keel. Does that make sense? Like,
that's
the waves just don't hit you as hard.
Yeah, that's where you find your joy.
Yeah,
whether you won the race or you lost the race.
Yes,
or you,
that's well said.
It's in Christ. And it's not that Christ is an achievement that we can then boast of.
No.
Because then he says, I may be found in him, found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's like, and you didn't earn Christ either.
No.
It was a gift from
yes.
God that he gave you, that you received by faith. We take no credit in it. We have no, it's like a big achievement.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you about this next line. It says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot there.
It's like, again, another favorite verse of mine is Philippians 3:10. It is so, and 11, so
I mean,
rich.
There's like layers here.
Yeah. And so knowing Christ, not just intellectually, but personally and experientially, is what he's talking about here. But then he gets more specific to know the power of his resurrection, that we are united with Christ. So union with Christ is a theme throughout Paul that is,
yeah,
that is where he's going right here, that literally we've been raised with Christ, he says in other parts of Paul's letters. We've been raised with Christ. And so we can today experience the power of his resurrection. Now, we're not bodily raised yet, but we will be raised with Christ. But today already, there's an already experience, mm-hmm, of resurrection power today in a world where we're participating in Christ's sufferings. So today, and the word participation is like koinonia. It's off that word fellowship.
Yeah, fellowship. Yeah.
So we're sharing in the sufferings of Christ, partly in that we are living in a fallen world, partly in that those who follow Christ will be persecuted. They will be reviled. We will be looked down on. That's expected. And we're to take up our cross and follow Christ, even to be obedient to the point of death. He says, you know, in chapter 2 that we covered just recently, that Christ was humbled himself to become obedient, even to death, death on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are to become like him in his death. Well, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's
that's
several,
what I ask you, Bruce.
There's multiple layers to it. One is he died to sin.
Mm-hmm.
He died for sin. We are to die to sin and to die to the impulses of sin in us, to put to death sin in our lives. And we're to die to ourselves, our selfish, not like we don't exist, but our selfishness, our will, to die to our will, to live for God's will, to take up our cross. So there's a death to sin and self and our dreams, our whatever we want, to live for Christ.
Yeah.
And so somehow to attaining to the resurrection from the dead, that as we do the journey of Philippians 2, which is to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, to become a slave for Christ, to be obedient to the point of death, then God highly exalted him. And so it is that as we do that, then we experience his resurrection power today, but one day we'll be raised with him.
Yeah.
Like bodily raised. And he literally says we will share in his glory. And other passages, I'm
which
like,
is like, wow.
Oh my gracious.
Yes.
So 3:10 to 11 is worth meditating on.
Yes.
Reflecting on, reading over and over. And you can spend a lifetime in those two verses.
Yes.
I mean, just it's some of the depths of Paul's theology is right here in these two verses.
Well, and he so clearly lived it out.
Yes.
And he talks about that next, about how he has he uses an athletic metaphor, right? That he's like, he's almost at the end of the race. He's straining to take hold of the goal, the prize.
Because in chapter 1, he said to live as Christ and to die as gain.
Yeah.
And that matches this language here about living and dying. And now he's saying, I haven't already obtained this. I haven't arrived at my goal. I'm not fully like Jesus.
Right.
I don't know him and the power of his resurrection
as much as
I could.
Yeah.
But I press on.
Yeah.
And he uses this phrase, press on, several times here to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I remember a men's retreat early in the church's life, and the theme was press on. And we had t-shirts with press on. And it... I love that spirit, which is, like you said, it's an athletic image, probably a running a metaphor.
You get that feeling like crossing a line.
Yeah.
Running your race. And he does use that in Timothy, right? Second Timothy.
And he's, hey, don't look behind you at whatever you've experienced, whatever you've gone through. The past is the past. Strain toward what's ahead.
Yeah.
And he had things he regretted in his past. He was guilty and ashamed of.
Yeah.
But he's like, forget that and strain onto what's
which
ahead.
Is also remarkable.
Yes.
You think of some of the things Paul was responsible for before he met Jesus.
Yeah.
And but he was able to let that stuff go because he really truly believed he'd been forgiven of all that, which is really encouraging to all of us that are hanging on to stuff in the back, in our background. And then also I love that he says, because he said all this, He says, now you can follow me.
Yes.
He's like, model your stuff after me, which is not something I would ordinarily probably tell someone.
Right.
But you think about what he, the case he just laid out, that how he, you know, did leave all that, all the things that looked good to the world. He left all that behind
and
to follow Christ.
We want to live the kind of lives where we would say to someone, hey, I'm not perfect, but follow me.
Yeah.
Like, as moms and dads, you want to be able to say to your kids,
that's true,
follow me. And we say it with trepidation because we're like, not everything I say and do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
by and large, are we living the kind of lives that we would want our kids to emulate or friends of ours to say, yeah, follow me? Because Paul's saying, look, I haven't obtained it.
Right. Like, yeah, he's there. Honest about that. Yeah.
But he says, true. I press on. I could feel his passion in verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm like, ah. Man, his intensity and his passion in this, in chapter 3, the press on.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's what I want for me. And it's what I want for you who are listening, for the people of Christ Fellowship. Let's press on. Yeah. Here at Christ Fellowship, we haven't already obtained it. We haven't arrived individually or as a church. Let's press on and strain ahead to what God has ahead for you personally. And what he has for Christ Fellowship.
Well, I am very excited about our bilingual service.
Me too.
I think it's going to be great. And next week on the podcast, we will have another special guest. Should I tell them who it's going to be?
Sure.
It's going to be Tamara Miller.
Hey.
I've never interviewed Bruce and Tamara together on the podcast.
I'm just scared you're going to hear more stories that are going to come back to haunt me.
Oh, probably. Probably. No, Tamara, if you guys have not had a chance to get to know Tamara, she is just a remarkable woman.
She is.
She really is.
She is
just absolutely lovely, wonderful, brilliant, just a great lady. So I'm excited she'll be joining us for the podcast. And then... only have one more.
I know.
But we're not going to think about that yet because we still have a couple more to do. So, Bruce, I'm excited about what God's going to do through Christ Fellowship in the coming years.
Me too.
I mean, as sad as I am about you leaving, I'm also really hopeful for the future.
Listen, I am beyond hopeful. I really do believe that verse about greater things that I've shared, that God has greater things ahead.
Yeah.
As we strain forward and press on to the goal for which Christ has called us heavenward.
Ugh, love that. All right, you want to pray for us?
Yes. God, thank you for Paul's passion, for his love for you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we too would see your surpassing worth far greater than anything and everything else in our lives. And that we will press on toward the goal to know you, to know the power of your resurrection, and to know the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings, and to one day participate in with you in your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.